A good portion of the parsha of Bechukosai is taken up by the tochacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Bnei Yisrael. These are words of rebuke that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Am Yisrael what will happen, all the terrible things that will happen to Am Yisrael. Vim lo tishmu li v'lo ta'asu es kol mitzvos ha'elem Bechukosai tim'asu. If you don't walk in the ways of Hashem, if you despise my chukim, all the terrible peronios that are going to happen to Bnei Yisrael. But that's not how the parsha begins. The parsha begins on a positive note. In Bechukosai Teleichu, if you walk in the ways of Hashem, if you do the mitzvot, if you follow what Hashem says, and the Torah goes on to describe many of the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do for us and grant us, if we follow in his ways. And this good portion, these good tidings end with the following pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher otzeisi aschem me'eretz Mitzrayim hiyos lahem avadim, va'eshbor motos ulchem, va'oleich eschem komimiyus. The last three words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to describe the good things that will happen to Bnei Yisrael if they follow in the ways of Hashem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead us komimiyus. What does it mean, komimiyus? So Rashi, quoting the Torah's Kohanim, the Medrash Halacha, says, komimiyus, bekoma zikufa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead us upright, standing straight, standing tall. And that's the way that we will be. Those are the last three words before the Torah begins the Tochacha. At first glance, though, this seems very strange. How could the Torah tell us that this bracha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be molechas bekoma zekufa? The Gemara in Kiddushin says as follows, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, person is forbidden to walk become a zakufa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, how can I walk become a zakufa? Who am I? So if it's awesome for me to walk become a zakufa, how could the Torah come along and promise us that that's exactly what's going to happen if we behave? Seems very odd. But maybe not so odd. Maybe there's really no contradiction here. Maybe what the Gemara is saying is that I, as an individual, am not allowed to decide on my own, to act on my own, that I'm going to walk, become a zakufa. Look who I am. That would be chutzpah in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always present. How can I walk around with the sense of haughtiness when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here? But what the Torah is promising us is that you or I can't decide to walk become a zakufa. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to lead us that way, he decides that we can walk become a zakufa, then it's not a contradiction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. He is allowed to let us walk become a zakufa. And if it's his decision, then it's certainly not us. Then we're certainly allowed to walk that way. But why? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us? Why does he want us to walk become a zakufa? What's so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you will walk upright? He's not worried about our posture. Why is it so important? Why are these the last three words before he begins the Tochacha? So I want to suggest two things. Number one, the Navi Yeshayahu tells us that we need to be an Or Lagoyim. We need to be a light unto the nations. We need to be a role model for everyone. Now, if you know anything about a lighthouse, when they build a lighthouse to steer the ship safely into harbor, You can't build a short lighthouse. It's not going to work. Because the ships won't see the short lighthouse. If you want the ships to use the lighthouse as a guiding light, it has to be tall. If you ever seen a lighthouse, there are pictures of it. It rises way above the waves. If we are going to be in Or LaGoyim, we can't be short. We can't be so humble. We can't be so low. If we're going to be a role model, then everyone has to see us. And for everyone to see us, we have to walk around with a certain sense of pride. Look, we walk b'kom as a kufa. And therefore, we will be able to be in Or LaGoyim. That's one possibility why HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and says, you do the right thing. But I think there's another reason as well. Maybe even a more important reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to walk b'kom as a kufa, not because of the goyim, not because of anybody else. He wants us to go b'kom as a kufa because of ourselves. Because it's important for us to walk b'koma zakufa, to walk upright. Why is that so? Human nature is a funny thing. We start off doing what we think is the right thing to do. But then we take a look around us. We start judging ourselves, not by what we think is correct. We begin to judge ourselves by what everybody else thinks is correct. We start off a life of imbuchukosai teleich, and we start doing the right thing. And we do that, and we go in that way, and we act that way. But after a time, we look to our right, and we look to our left, we look in front of us, and we look in back of us. We start wondering, what are other people doing? What are they thinking? What are they saying? And too often, they're leading a very different kind of lifestyle. They have a different set of priorities. They have a different set of values. And we begin to question ourselves. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not so important. Maybe I can just live a life of Judaism light. Maybe I should be just like everybody else. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Deos that Derech B'yoso Shalada, that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings was Leilech B'deyosav U'B'masav, according to the people around him. We're so influenced by everybody around us. So we start off doing what we really believe is the right thing, and after a while we question ourselves. Maybe it's not worth it. It's not worth any of the effort. It's not important. Maybe my priorities shouldn't be maybe what everybody's telling me. Maybe I should be like that. And we begin to question our own values, our own self-worth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along and tells us, if you do the right thing, in b'chukosai teleichu, I'll give you that koma zakufa. I'll give you that sense of pride that what you're doing is right. And you will be proud of what you're doing. And even more importantly, you will know that I, the Ribono Shalom, am proud of what you're doing. And that's why it's so important that after all the other things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, if we go in the right path, the most important thing is that we'll be proud of what we're doing. And we'll feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pride in us. There's this danger that exists. According to the Rambam, it's part of human nature. That even though we know what's right, we know what's important, we know where our priorities are, we get so messed up because we tend to start adopting the values and priorities of those around us. And what we know to be important, we sometimes begin to disparage. And that which is unimportant, all of a sudden, You put it on a pedestal as if that's the most important thing. Because that's what everybody else is doing. So we join the crowd. In that vein, the Chafetz Chaim once told a very important mashal. Said a very important story as a mashal. You may have heard the mashal before, but I think it's very important. I wanted to tell it to you again. So this is the story that the Chafetz Chaim told. Once upon a time, like all good mashalim, once upon a time, there's a man named Yankel who lived in a village, in a shtetl, somewhere in Europe. And Yankel was married and had children. He was a very, very fine person, Yankel. But he had no mazel when it came to Parnassa. He was always, always struggling. But no matter what he did, it never was so successful. And he can barely eke out a living just to put a few pieces of bread on the table. It was always very hard for him. And one day, a stranger walks into town. And he starts telling over a story, an amazing story. He tells people that there's this island in the middle of the ocean, far away from everywhere else. But there's something really special about this island. That on this island, there are diamonds everywhere. And anyone who's on the island can come and take the diamonds. They're just there for your asking. Just go and pick up diamonds. The diamonds are everywhere. So people start asking him, so how come everybody doesn't go? He says, oh, it's the middle of the ocean. It's a very difficult journey to get there. And a very difficult journey to get back. The ships that come only once a year to the island. And you have to traverse the island. Storms and pirates and who knows what. But if you get to the island, there are diamonds for everyone. So everyone in the shtetl hears the story, smiles, and goes back to what they're doing. Except for one person. There's one person who's just enamored with the story. And that's Yankel. And Yankel starts asking all sorts of questions. How do you get to the island? And where do you go? And what's going on? And he gets as much information as he can. And he spends a couple of sleepless nights. And finally he reaches the conclusion, he's going to go to that island. Because once and for all, he's going to try to make a parnassa for his family after all these years of struggling. And he's going to do it. See, he tells his wife, I'm going to go to the island. She says, Yankel, you're crazy. He says, no, I'm going to go. She tries to talk him out of it, and nothing works. He begs, he borrows whatever money is necessary, and he's going to go on this trip to the island. Anyway, that tearful day arrives, and the wagon is coming to take him to the next town, which will take him to the town after, to take him to the train, to take him to the port. And his wife gives him a tearful goodbye. He kisses his children goodbye. The women in town, Nebuch, they say he's never going to come back again. Poor Mrs. Yankel, what's going to be with her? But Yankel, nothing will dissuade him. And Yankel goes off and begins his journey. It's a journey with all sorts of stories. To get to the next town, to get to the port, the train and the port, and the ocean voyage. With the storms and the pirates and everything else, but that's not part of the real story for now. We'll leave that for another time, maybe. But eventually, after 6 long, long months of traveling, he arrives on the island, exhausted. And there's no koyach left for anything. And he gets off the ship, and he asks somebody, where's a hotel, an inn? He needs a room to stay in. And they point him in a certain direction, and he starts walking. And he takes a few steps, and he looks down, and he can't believe it. Diamonds. And just the diamonds. He bends down,
picks it up, pinches himself. They're diamonds. So he takes the diamonds and he starts putting them in his pocket. Looks around and takes more diamonds and puts more diamonds in his pocket. And then he suddenly fills up all his pockets. Diamonds, diamonds, diamonds. And he puts diamonds in his hat. Diamonds this. He wants to put diamonds in his mouth, but he can't. It hurts. You know, he's going to swallow. He doesn't know what to do with the diamonds. He stuffs them in his pocket. They keep falling out. His pockets are all full. So he says, I'm going to go. I'm going to buy myself a suitcase. I'm going to fill a suitcase with diamonds. No, I'll buy two suitcases. No, I'll buy a trunk. I'll buy all the trunk. He can't believe it. And all of a sudden, he stops for a second. He takes a look around. Looks around. He says, everybody else is just walking on the street and they're just passing the diamonds. They're not doing anything. He's the only one who's picking them up. So he doesn't understand. So he stops somebody and he says, excuse me, but you know, I noticed that the people are just walking by and they're not picking up these diamonds. So why? That, you know, the stones. He says that they're all over the island. What do we need them for? What do you need them for? Yeah. So what are they worth? They're all over the island. So these things aren't worth anything here. Nah. So he says, well, what's worth something on the island? He says, you really want to know what's worth on the island? You really want to know? He says, yeah. He says, well, I'll tell you, the wealthiest people on the island, they invested in schmaltz, chicken fat. That's where it's at. You need it for cooking, you need it for this, you need it for that. So Yanko thinks, this guy goes in the loony bin. I mean, what, schmaltz? Anyway, he says, I got to get to the hotel. I'm exhausted. As he's going to the hotel, more diamonds in the pockets. There's no more room. It doesn't matter. He puts it down his back, his shirt, everywhere. So it's crazy, but okay, he gets to the hotel. He says, I need a room. Okay, guys, that's fine. So, let me just ask you a question. I have two questions. First of all, where can I go buy suitcases, trunks, like large things? He says, well, there's a store. It's closed now, but tomorrow morning you can open up. It's over there. He says, something else I want to ask you. Like, the big people, the wealthy people on the island, like, what are they invested? He says, you want to know? Schmaltz. You invest in schmaltz? That's where it's at. I can't believe it. Goes to sleep the whole night long. He's tossing and turning. Schmaltz. He wakes up in the morning. He's going to go to his suitcase place and he wants to buy the biggest suitcases. But he asks the guy, like, what are people, you know, doing this island for? Like, where's the wealth? And everybody keeps telling him, it's schmaltz. So he doesn't know what to do, but he's on the island for a year because the ship comes only once a year. He says, in the meantime, I need to do something. So he goes to one of the schmaltz factories. And he hires himself, he gets hired to work in the factory. But for the first time in his life, Yankel has been successful. He quickly works his way up in a couple of months till he's able to make enough money and he opens up his own schmaltz factory. And within a period of time, he becomes one of the biggest schmaltz dealers on the island. He has workers working for him all the time and he's living on the high because schmaltz is where it's at. And he's moved out of this tiny little dinky hotel room. He's rented himself a beautiful place to live in, and he's living it great. He doesn't have to get up early in the morning. He has his workers and his foremen, and they're just producing the schmaltz, and life is wonderful. Months and months pass, and he's lying there in his bed one morning, and he hears the strange sound. And he says, oh, what's a strange sound? Ah. Sounds like a ship's whistle. Ah, that's what it is. A ship's whistle. A ship's whistle! He takes a look. It's a year since he came. The ship is here. He has to get back. He has to go quickly. He runs up, gets up, calls his foreman. Says, get the guy. See all these suitcases here? Start filling them with schmaltz. Fill up. And they start filling the suitcases with schmaltz and schmaltz and schmaltz and more schmaltz. And quickly he runs and he says, I need a ticket on the ship. Yeah, no problem. The ship's leaving very soon. Quick, load up the suitcases. And they load up, and the ship is blowing its whistle. He was about to leave and he has to run. And they're going to the suitcases with the schmaltz and they're getting it on. And finally, the ship is pulling away the gangplank to run up to the ship. And he finally makes it. But as he's about to go, all of a sudden he realizes, what's that? Diamonds! Diamonds! There's one little diamond there. He's at the shore. He picks it up, puts it in his pocket, sticks it in, runs up the ship. Finally makes it
and the ship leaves the port, and it's headed back home.
He's just exhausted psychologically, everything else. 4 days later, passengers start complaining bitterly that there's this terrible, terrible stench on the ship. And the passengers complain, the sailors complain, the captain says, what is it? We're going to go search cabin by cabin, we're going to find out. They start searching cabin by cabin. They finally come to Yankel's cabin. They open up the door. Oh, they almost passed out. He says, what do you have there? What's in those suitcases? The guy says, suitcase? That's my schmaltz. He said, what? The captain said, schmaltz? Get rid of it. He said, no, that's my schmaltz. You can't do that. See, he orders the sailors, take the suitcases and throw them overboard. And the guy says, no, my schmaltz. And he has two burly sailors hold the back. And one by one, they take a suitcase and says, oh, my schmaltz, my schmaltz. So they take all the suitcases with the schmaltz and throw them overboard. He's destroyed. That's it. He's finished. The schmaltz is all gone. And now he faces 6 months of stormy seas and pirates and almost shipwrecks, but that's a different story. Till finally, he lands in the port and takes the train and takes the this. And that. Till 2 years after he left, the wagon shows up into the little shtetl. And he gets off the wagon, and the people can't believe it. Yankel came back. He's alive. Unbelievable. They quit. They run to tell Mrs. Yankel. Mrs. Yankel comes like, Yankel, 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 Yankel. He's so exhausted, he can't say anything. Yankel, she couldn't believe he's alive. He's back. Unbelievable. Yankel, tell us it's not. He can't talk. He can't talk. He goes back to his house and takes off his jacket, collapses on his bed, and goes straight to sleep. His wife, she's a good wife. She takes the jacket, she hangs it up, but she feels that there's something in the pocket. She puts her hand in the pocket, and she takes out a single diamond. She's never seen a diamond like that. Yankel, Yankel! Yankel's dead to the world. He's alive, but he's dead to the world. He's not moving, he's exhausted. She can't believe it. She doesn't know what to do. She quickly catches the wagon to the next shtetl with his somebody who knows jewelry, and the guy comes and he looks with the jeweler's eye and he says, yeah, this is a diamond. It's worth thousands of rubles. She's a thousands of rubles. She can't believe it. She comes back. She wakes up. Yankel, Yankel, I can't believe it. You came back with a diamond. It's unbelievable. Oh, we'll be able to fix the leak in the roof, and we'll be able to buy shoes for the children, and maybe to buy some chicken for Shabbos and for Yom Tov, and save a little bit for the dowry for the daughter. It's after Nisan. She can get married. And Yankel. Yankel doesn't seem to be so happy. So she says to him, Yankel, what's the matter? He said to her, he says, you don't understand. He said, but Yankel brought back a diamond. He said, yeah, but I could have brought back hundreds of diamonds, thousands of diamonds. Not to buy, fix the leak in the roof. We could have had the biggest mansion in the whole province. We could have had 4 white horses and a cow. We could have everything. So Yankel, why? Why didn't you bring back the diamonds? He says, because I was so busy collecting. She said, collecting what? I spent my time collecting schmaltz. Schmaltz, Yankel? You spent a year collecting schmaltz when you could have collected diamonds? Yankel, why schmaltz? Hi, Shmaltz. Says the Chofetz Chaim, we're all like Yankel. We get to visit an island. For some people it's a year. For some people it's 70 years. For some people it's 120 years. But you have a choice of what you want to collect. The island is full of diamonds. We call them mitzvot. And they're there just for collecting. You can pick them up and put them in your pocket and have them. As many as you want. Day in, day out. Just go and pick them up. It's very easy. There's only one problem. So many people on the island don't value these diamonds. And instead, they value schmaltz. We come to the island knowing what's important. But too soon we get influenced by the other people on the island. And we think that we should spend our time accumulating schmaltz. But the time comes for everyone. When the ship's whistle blows. And we need to leave the island. A year later, 70 years later, 120 years later. What do we take with us? Guaranteed, says the Chafetz Chaim. If you decide to take with you schmaltz, as soon as you leave the island, it's clearly worthless. It decomposes. And the captain, the ultimate captain, takes all your suitcases of schmaltz and throws them overboard. Because it's worthless. Yes, we do manage to pick up a diamond or two when we're on the island. But we'll be so regretful that we could have taken not one diamond, not two diamonds, but hundreds, thousands of diamonds we could have taken. And too often we spend so much time just collecting schmaltz. What makes it a successful year here in Eretz Yisrael? What determines that a year in MMY or in any seminary, in any yeshiva has been successful? It's clear to me that there's more than one answer. No two people can judge their success in the same way. No two people came in as clones of each other, and therefore the measure of success is different. But one barometer of success, one way of measuring it, is do we leave here knowing the difference between diamonds and schmaltz? Knowing the difference, valuing the difference, and leaving with a decision of how we are going to lead our lives. Whether we're going to lead our lives collecting diamonds, or lead our lives collecting schmaltz. Re'ei nasati lefneichem hayom es hachayim ve'es hamaves. Hachayim ve'es habrocha ve'es hachayim ve'es hamaves es haklala ve'es habrocha es hachayim ve'es hatov ve'es hamaves ve'es hara. Pasuk says. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a choice. How are we going to lead our lives? What are we going to be involved in? What kind of home do we want to build? What kind of person do we want to marry? How do we want to raise our children? What kind of community do we want to live in? Do we have a vision that after the 120 years on this island, how I want to leave it? What's going to be in my suitcases? What am I going to be taking with me? What's important and what's not? What's a priority and what isn't? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the choice. It's all up to us. Let us, Bezus Hashem, choose well.